Tu Bishvat has become a day on which many Jews express gratitude for the earth and its bounty. In this sense, it's closely connected to the practice of reciting blessings over food before we eat. How do we experience, when we eat fully formed produce, the miraculous intricacy that produced it? How do we go from the mundane act of eating to a deep sense of appreciation? The most potent place to think about this question is the blessing over bread. Blessed are you, Hashem our God, sovereign of the universe, Hamotzi Lechem min Haaretz, the one who brings forth bread from the earth. This is the most specific of our food blessings. Rather than referencing an entire class of food, fruit of the tree, fruit of the ground, it mentions precisely the food that we're about to eat, bread. This specificity makes its language all the more perplexing. The one who brings forth bread from the earth. But God does not, in fact, bring forth bread from the earth. We receive wheat, which we then transform into bread. Why, then, this most specific blessing for this most processed food? When the Talmud addresses Hamotzi, it takes up this question only indirectly. The discussion there focuses on the blessing's use of the definite article. The blessings for fruits and vegetables mention Hashem who creates the fruit, Borei Peri. By contrast, the blessing over bread refers to God as the one who brings forth, Ha-Motzi Lechem. Why, of all the blessings we have, is this one over bread the only one to specify God as the one to provide us? According to the Talmud, this was actually a debate between Rabbi Nehemiah and the sages. The latter provide us with a text that we know, Ha-Motzi, the one who brings forth. Rabbi Nehemiah, however, believes that the blessing over bread should be aligned with the other blessings we offer, Motzi Lechem, without that definite article, Ha. The Talmud explains that they disagree about the grammatical effect of a definite article prior to a verb. All agree that this form of the verb, without a definite article, implies an action that took place in the past. When the definite article is added, however, Rabbi Nehemiah and the sages disagree. Rabbi Nehemiah believes that the addition of the definite article makes the word sound as if it is referring to an action happening in the present, whereas the sages hold that it still refers to the past. In practice, we follow the view of the sages, reciting Hamotzi with the definite article. But if all agree that saying Motzi without the definite article would satisfy our desire to bless about what God has already done, then why not follow the universal view, rather than the one that works only according to one side of the debate? In a synthetic reading, the medieval commentator Ritva suggests that the ambiguity of Hamotzi is in fact the point. Blessing God as the one who brings forth bread creates a kind of omni-significance, in which we are simultaneously blessing God for the past, present, and the future. This awareness of God's blessings to us in all temporal directions makes sense for bread, because unlike fruits of the tree, which have a specific growing season, wheat, quote, sprouts forth regularly. Wheat, then, represents an orientation toward God that recognizes not only God's goodness in the past, but also God's ongoing generosity in the present and the future. We deviate from the normal structure of our blessings, adding a definite article, precisely in order to create the ambiguity that gestures toward God's ongoing acts of sustenance. Bread provides an opportunity to increase our appreciation for all that we depend on. Yet bread as a site of maximal appreciation is surprising, because it is precisely the place where it is hardest to see God's hand at work. When I eat an apple, it takes no great act of imagination to travel from the fruit in my hand to an image of the tree on which it grew, back through the branches and trunk, into the ground from which it sprouted. It's a short path from the apple back to God's direct engagement in the world. Bread, however, is a human production, an act of artisanship that takes the wheat growing in the ground, sifts it and grinds it into flour, mixes it with water and yeast, forms it, and finally applies heat to make something that is fundamentally unrecognizable as a fruit of the earth. The Ishbitzer Rebbe argues that it is precisely this hidden aspect of bread's origins that makes the definite article in its blessing so important. He says, "It's written in Psalms, 'How abundant is the good that you have in store, tsafanta, for those who fear you, that you do in the full view of people, for those who take refuge in you.' That is, that the good that blessed God bestows, it's not recognizable that God bestows it. This is called, 'How abundant is the good that you have hidden, tsafanta.' Therefore," the Ishbitzer continues, "with Motzi, all agree that since it is obstructed from human eyes and hidden, therefore a person can theoretically say, 'Motzi.' However, a person must vigorously strive to recognize explicitly that blessed God is the one who bestows. Therefore, a person must in fact say, 'Ha-Motzi,' with a definite article. That is, that a person explicitly recognizes the one who brings forth." The Ishbitzer tells us that the word tsafanta in the verse from Psalms, initially translated as "that you have in store," has a connotation of hiddenness. Most of the good that God does is hidden. When we look at a piece of bread, the miraculous providence that produced it is hidden from our eyes. Were we to recite "Motzi lecha min ha'aretz," it would be reflective of our own experience, and therefore minimally valid. A blessing that fails to appreciate the fullness of God's goodness aligns with our actual inability, most of the time, to apprehend in an explicit and visceral way God's role in the world. Just like our knowledge of something that happened in the past, which is intellectual, not instinctive, we know in our heads that we have this bread only through God's good graces, but it's hard to feel that in our kishkas. Our task, however, is to go beyond this minimal form of recognition. Quote, "A person must vigorously strive to recognize explicitly that blessed God is the one who bestows. Like the things happening in this moment before my very eyes, I am called upon to know deep in my bones that God is the one who brings forth everything, even the highly processed bread on my table, from the earth. Therefore, we bless over bread with a definite article. 'Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, sovereign of the universe, the one who brings forth, even now in this very moment, bread from the earth.' On this Tu Bishvat, may we work towards moments of visceral and instinctive appreciation for God's miracles in all of the ways that they reach us."